going. It's the apocalypse outside right now. If you don't know, don't check the weather in Oklahoma City. It's a real tough scene out there right now. There's human sacrifice, dogs living with cats, complete chaos out there right now. I think I fucked up that line. What are you going to do? Oh, already. What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate 75. I'm a PGA DFS content creator who, even on the sweatiest of weeks, when nobody wants to play PGA DFS, you can count on me being here. I don't ever have shit to do other than PGA DFS. If there's going to be an event, I'm going to be here giving you a couple pointers on how not to step on your dick and get a little bit better at this stuff. Also, you're going to want to know I'm not going to give you a single pick, so if you're holding your breath waiting on a couple picks tonight, let me go ahead and save you some time. Fuck off now, because they're not coming. Actually, I will give one, but I guess it's two tonight because they're a pair, but that's just more of like a thing, even though I did hit the winner last week, so whatever. So, if you enjoy the cut of my jib, please come check out this schedule right here. We do this every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Lord's time zone, although I've got some weddings coming up that I might have to move around the time, so that's going to get weird. But generally speaking, 7 o'clock Lord's time zone, that's central, new guy. And I do the Showdown Hoedown, dude. Check out Showdown, especially this week. It's so much better than week-long, a.k.a. kicking the nuts. I know, I'm here right now. I'm going to do week-long. You're going to do week-long. We're all going to do week-long. But then we're going to be sitting there Sunday afternoon having some real showdown sweats, and all of our week-long lineups are going to be dead and be like, why do I even play week-long? And this is a valid question that we should all ask ourselves. All right. Oh, and don't forget my new show every Monday, groundbreaking. I do a course preview show. It's doing pretty well. More people watch it than I ever thought would. Okay. And I give my opinions on the prices. And then basically tonight I just shit on everything I said. So there you go. By the way, if you haven't heard, I'm not a fucking poor. I do give away a lot of gifts, and when I do that, it's just winning lineups. You get to make a lineup with me. I've had some success. PayPal to do 10 grand. That was cool. Hashtag Cody. And we'll be doing that tonight. I'll be giving away 3 tickets. If you're here throughout it, make sure you're over in the chat. Make sure you're contributing, and that's how we're going to draw you, right? Yes, I have the will up there to remind me to say that this is sponsored by Nuggets and that there is going to be a giveaway, but let's be honest. I'm going to just have the editor draw it from the chat. So there you go, right? You also need to know I have a big problem saying fuck. Okay, I say it too much. And every time I do, that little fuck counter up there is going to add a dollar. And last week, I drew one of my buddies, one of the dudes that went to the try-hard retreat with me. We're already planning number 2, by the way. And Billy forgot a very important lesson about when you play me. If you're going to stab the king, you better stab to kill. And he didn't. He was kicking my ass heading into the weekend. But you know what? My guys, they got a little bit of fight to them. And they came out and they whooped that ass all weekend. That is 9 in a row. Whooped that ass. By the way, did get the DNA results back. I am his daddy. I am officially his daddy. We can confirm that. I'm very excited. I'm excited for the opportunity. So 9 weeks in a row I've won. Will I ever quit saying fuck? Probably not. Probably not, because these bums can't beat me. It is what it is. All the way. By the way, if you want to play me in that, at the end, we'll draw for that also, okay? Let's talk. Oh, I'm already stepping on my own dick. Hey, new guy. Have you made your lineups yet? You have, haven't you? Yeah, see, the weather's got me up. There's no way I'm going to be focused tonight. I'm going to be lacking focus because I have the apocalypse at my back door right now. By the way, this might be the shortest stream ever because I'm afraid the frickin' electricity is going to grow out? Whatever. All right, so let's talk a little contest selection. I think you got to start with talking about potential overlays, okay? I have been tracking these, and this $20 was heading towards an overlay today, right? At least it was certainly not going to fill. And there's still a chance it won't fill. My current math is showing that it will. It's not going to be an overlay, but it may not fill, which is nice because then we don't have to pay the fucking rake, right? That's always nice. Oh, man, I already forgot to say my – I wore the teddy shirt and everything, and I forgot to say
pay that man.
Man, it's a fucking rough show tonight. I'm telling you, I'm shook. I just put it on my Discord. There's like hell that big coming down right before I went on the air. All right, I'm sorry. Let me refocus. Okay, here we go. So this one, there is a chance it's not going to fill. And that's nice because essentially you just get to play for the money and you don't have to pay DK's rake, which on these is usually like 16%. So that's pretty nice. So this big $20 and this big $5, I would be watching them closely. And at midnight or so, usually that's when that really starts slowing down to a drip on people entering these things. And if you're seeing that it's still 10 or 15,000 short of filling at that time, I think maybe you get in there and you throw some in because there's great expected value when you don't have to pay rake, or Lord willing, there's an overlay. That's where you want to be. So I would definitely be watching those two contests in particular, just because it takes so many people to enter those to fill it up, right? These smaller ones, you know, they're probably going to get there just because it only takes two or three pros to come in and max enter it, and then all of a sudden there's no overlay, right? But those big ones like that, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of people are going to have to come in and put a good number of lineups in it to put a dent in it. So I would be on overlay watch. I will say I saw DraftKings sending out an offer that for every so much you play in these $20 lineups, they'll give you X amount back. So they know that it's heading for overlay, and they're trying to hedge their bet. By the way, if you really want the overlay, I don't know. I'm not a Rainmakers guy. I feel like I should get into it because I know a lot of people that are doing it and enjoying it. But look at this bad boy. It's only 20% of the way full. I shit you not. And we're like less than 12 hours from tea time. So if you want to chase these Rainmaker packs, I think you're going to get quite the overlay on this bad boy right here. I will not be doing it. I'm too late to the party. I'm not going to show up and be like, hey guys, I brought wine coolers. So there, those are a couple that I'd really be watching for overlays. As far as any other overlays, they're just not going to get there. I mean, this 200, I would say there's a chance it might not fill, but no chance at overlays. Here's the rule. If it needs to still be less than 60% full if you want any chance at an overlay. And it probably needs to have a large number of entrants in it, right? So that's what I'm like. Here, my baby, the $10 18 max is currently at 2,800 to 4,700. So that's like right at 60%, right? So that one's going to probably be right there on the cusp of, I don't think it's going to overlay, but I also don't think it's going to fill. And, you know, when it doesn't fill, that's less rake you got to pay. And the less rake you got to pay, the more plus EV you're getting your lineups in, right? Single entries, they're not going to overlay, but they're always the best contest to play in. Look, new guy, if you don't know, you want to be playing in single entries, you want to be playing in three maxes, and you want to be playing in contests that you can max enter. So if you want to play more than, you know, three lineups this week and you don't want to just do single entries, well, go check out the 20 maxes. Go check out my 18 max and play in things like that. But as always, just play in contests that have good balanced price structures and ones that you're going to max enter. If you just follow those two rules, I don't have to repeat the same shit every fucking week, okay? And then we're all winners, all right? But you know the best contest to play in is, of course, mine right here. No strings attached. All you got to do is go hop in and just toss your favorite lineup, but it's in the connection to this. No email, no nothing. You know, you got to send me $2. None of that shit. Okay, you just get in there. Winner gets a free week on my Discord and gets to make a lineup with me. And second place just gets a free week on my website. And here's our winners from last week. Z Zapinski 6, let's make a lineup. Reach out to me on Twitter, however you want to reach out to me, get a hold of me. We will make a lineup tonight, or we can save it for a better tournament because this one's a little wonky. And MLFim10, you also want a week on the Discord. Just reach out to the editor. He'll get you hooked up. You'll get you the sweetest package we have, okay? So go hop in that tournament. Go do it. Go do it. We only had like 115 people in there last week. Okay, new guy, time at redemption. Time for some redemption. What's the first thing we always check? I'll give you a clue. The fucking apocalypse outside. There's your clue. That's right. We checked the weather. Good job. Yeah, I need to check the weather. Called, is my house about to get like Wizard of Oz right now? That's what it feels like out there. Got some tornadoes down here. It's Tornado Alley, Oklahoma, man. It's actually what happened to my beard. Tornado accident. Very, very tragic. Very tragic. Okay, let's talk weather. First of all, let's look at tomorrow, okay? For tomorrow, it looks like it's going to be a nice day. There's no real weather that we need to talk about tomorrow other than it's going to be nice and breezy all day. 12 mile an hour winds sustained mainly all day and gusting, you know, really no more than 20, right? It does look like there could be a little window in the morning where it'll be nicer, but you know, here's what I would say. Tomorrow, you don't have to worry about rain delays. You don't have to worry about anything. Here's what I can tell you. Tomorrow morning, the course will be will be softer. So I would just inherently expect the morning guys to score a little bit better than the afternoon guys tomorrow. Just because the course, you know, when it gets to be 80 degrees for six straight hours in the afternoon, it will get a little baked out. I don't care if it's in the fucking swamp, okay? So with that, I think that you expect AM guys to maybe have the slightest of edges on Thursday. But where we'll really make our money this week is looking over here at Friday. And Friday, there is some mixed opinions about what's going to happen. So it seems pretty clear there's going to be storms on Friday, right? Big rainstorms. I mean, look at this. I hope you can see this down here. We're talking 3/4 inch 1 hour, followed up by a 1/2 inch the next hour. That is certainly going to delay play, right? Even if there's no electricity. That's just called, they just call that a good old flood down in Louisiana. So there's going to be delays if these storms come to fruition and come with the water that we're expecting, which puts us in a tricky situation, right? Because it looks like Friday morning looks pretty nice. I mean, winds not getting above 10 miles an hour, they're going to get out there, right? See, think, okay, well, if it's going to be relatively even Thursday, I'll just take the guaranteed nice weather Thursday, and that makes sense. It really does. I think that's the safest way to play it, because I think up until about noon on Friday, we have a really good idea of what this weather is going to do. Okay? I don't think, but where it gets weird is, this the storm going to roll in at 10 a.m.? Is it going to roll in at 2 p.m.? Is the storm even going to come at all on Friday? Now, this is where it gets tricky, and I think this is where we got to talk about if we want to play a weather edge this week. If this storm comes, okay, if this storm comes, and let's say there's a three-hour delay Friday afternoon, and of course, they're going to finish, you know, round two on Saturday, like fucking they do every week, it seems like. And so with that, I think you got to ask yourself, after that huge rain, they go out there, it looks like the winds are going to die down a little bit out there. If they get to go back out there for a couple hours and finish, they're probably going to be in really nice conditions, probably very comparable to what we saw Friday morning. Furthermore, it's going to continue to likely sprinkle overnight throughout Saturday, and they're going to get to go out there Saturday morning. And even though there appears to be some solid gusts, this is also over 48 hours out, and so you don't really know. What we do know is morning scoring tends to be easier, especially down on the bayou, okay? So with that, I think that there is a weird path for the AM-PM guys to have the better wave. But if you made me bet, if you made me pick, I'd pick the PM AM. If you feel like I'm just sitting on the fence, well, yeah, I fucking am, okay? And because of that, what I would tell you to do is, and here's what I'm definitely going to do. I'm going to make three-player pools, right? I'm going to make three-player pools. I'm going to do a PM AM one. I'm going to do an AM PM one. PM AM, AM PM. And then I'm just going to do a mixed one, right? And I'm probably going to do about a third of all my lineups that way. So if there is some weird weather delay or the wind doesn't exactly play out the way we think and one of them gets a huge edge, well, I want to be able to capitalize on that. It's not very hard. You just go take all the guys you like and then you look, hey, these 15 guys are in the AM PM. These 15 guys are in the PM AM. So you just go make a batch of lineups of these 15, a batch of lineups of these 15. Then you put them together and you make a batch of lineups with your 30. It doesn't take very long, especially if you're using an optimizer, wink, wink. So with that in mind, it's just going to come down to how does this delay play out, and I think you would be a fool to say that you definitively know that PM AM is going to be the better one or AM PM, because we don't know how long this storm's going to be, if this storm's going to come, and what the conditions will be like exactly like after that, right? So I am not telling you to go all in on a wave. Matter of fact, if you want to just ignore it and say, well, I'm just going to play the guys I like, it sounds about 50-50. Okay, I can dig that. I dig that. But if you're one of those weather tryhards like me, I think you do want to give yourself a little bit of weather equity on both sides of the wave. I could see it playing out both ways. I really could. Especially with them not agreeing when this storm's going to roll in Friday, right? See, one has it rolling in more at 10 a.m. The other one has it rolling in more at noon, right? That's a pretty big difference. That's a pretty, because if it comes in at noon, a lot of the morning guys will have already got all their rounds done, and that'll make a big difference, right? Whereas if it rolls in at, say, 10 a.m., well, then all of a sudden, or 9 a.m., now all of a sudden those guys are going to get to go play their round in the really nice conditions. So, you know, it's going to depend on when that storm rolls in. I could go off on which projections are better, but no one cares. Just know that I have two meteorologist nerds who are like, you know how some people are with grass, they're that way with weather, okay? Wish they'd come tell me what's about to happen out here right now. So, that's weather. Hope that helps. If not, sorry. I'm not going to fucking tell you to do something that I'm not 100% sure. All right, let's talk a little format this week. If you don't know, this is a weird format, okay? New guy. They are playing in fours, right? In twos. They'll be in two groups of two, so there'll be four out in the groups, all right? You're a partner. See, that's Billy Ho and that's Sam Burns, right? That is a team. If you put Billy Horschel in your lineup, you can't put Sam Burns in your lineup. I mean, you can, but I'm pretty sure your lineup would be forfeited. I don't even think DraftKings allows it. Once you put one guy in there, that's it. You've got that guy for the team. You can't do it, right? So essentially, you're going to have six teams in your lineups. You can't be like, man, Billy Ho and Burns are going to win. I'll play them both. It doesn't work that way, okay? You play one of them, and now you have that team in there. Billy Horschel and Sam Burns will score the exact same number of points this week. The exact same number. That could be 150. That could be 34 if they miss the cut, okay? So because of that, you pick the teams you like, and then you just toss one of those two in there, and you're good to go, okay? That's it. Now, Thursday and Saturday, they're going to be what's called four ball. Everybody plays their own ball, and they're gonna whoever scores the best on that hole, whoever gets the best ball of those two is going to be the score for the group. So let's say on hole number one, Billy Ho makes a birdie and Sam Burns makes a bogey. It don't matter. They're getting a birdie as a pair. Okay, and then on hole number two, he makes a birdie and he makes a par. Well, they're getting a birdie. So now they've just started birdie, even though they had a par and a bogey in there. You just take the best one. That is the format for Thursday and Saturday. So you're going to see nuclear scores all over the place Thursday. You're going to wake up and check your scores and be like, oh my God, all my guys are 7 under. I'm doing so good. And then you'll look and you'll be like in dead last on DraftKings. Okay, so don't get too excited when all your guys are 7 under. Everybody's going to boat race tomorrow. Okay. Because, you know, like even on the worst holes, it's very rare that you ever get a bogey on four ball, right? Because only one of them has to make a par, and all of a sudden you don't get that bogey, right? Even if Billy Ho makes a triple bogey, as long as he makes a par, it's a par for them, okay? Now, it gets a little bit more complicated on Friday and Sunday. And this is where really it'll determine who wins the tournament way more than Thursday, Saturday will, okay? And why it is because it's alternate shot. Billy Ho will hit a shot, then Sam Burns will hit a shot. Billy Ho will then hit the next one, then Sam Burns. And then the next hole, they'll flip. Sam Burns will hit first, and then Billy Ho. And then Sammy, and then Billy Ho. Now, the one nice thing about this is you can be very strategic about who tees off on what holes, right? If you find that one guy is more comfortable with the odd number holes, well, you just make him the guy that leads off on all those holes. And three of the difficult par fours do all fall on odd numbers. So if you have a guy that's really good at those 200-yard par threes, then you simply go play him on those holes, right? He'll be on the odd ones. If you have a guy who can bomb and a guy who's really good at 200-yard approaches, well, then you try to land it where you have the bomber teeing off on all the par fives and the guy who's good at 200 yards plus really going after those par five greens, right? And that's going to give you chances at eagles and tap-in birdies, which last time I heard is good for scoring, right? So that's it. That's the two different. That's it. There's still pars are still going to count the same. Birdies are still going to count the same. Eagles, streaks, everything's still the same. First place is still 30 bonus points. Second place is still 20. Everything's the exact same. The only difference is like they are just sharing a score. They're scoring together, okay? And you can only play one of them. So if you're not playing this week, Grandpa, because this seems too complicated for you and you just can't figure it out, fucking stop, okay? It's not that tough. Get in there and play. It's just normal DraftKings. Just don't play two guys that are paired up together, okay? That's it. That's it. That's it. Now, with this, I do think, because it's a unique format, we do have a couple rules I want to go over here, okay? Here are my rules that I think that you should consider. If you don't want to follow them, I get it. These are just some for you to consider. These aren't like, I should have told the editor to list this as pro tips, right? Because these are more tips than they are rules, I would say, right? Number one, more variance this week. If you don't know, this tournament, you're going to look at the top 10 come Sunday and be like, what the hell is this tournament? Like, there's going to be some gross-ass teams that are going to be up there, right? And my computer just went crazy on me. I hope I'm still here. I'm just going to keep talking. And so because there's going to be people just absolutely going crazy, editor, are you I think the editor's fucking with my screen. So because of that, I think you want to be more aware of openly fading chalk this week, right? Like there is some chalk you're going to want to play this week. There's just some really good teams that you're probably going to want to eat that chalk. However, what I think you want to do is like some of the gross chalk this week, just embrace the variance. Be willing to make pivots, right? Also, people are going to follow projections so much this week. I think this is a great week to, like, you know, not put all of your weight into projections or into models and just simply play the game. Because this week, more than ever, it's not just one guy that's going to have to play well to do well. It's going to be two guys. And because of that, the variance is going to be even higher than normal this week. So I really encourage you to consider that, right? Number two, build uniquely. The worst thing you could do this week is win a GPP and then split it with 12 people because you made the same donkey lineup that everybody else made. Consider leaving a little extra salary on the table. Or if you don't want to leave extra salary, because pricing is decently tight this week, consider going with a balance build. Because I guarantee you, 95% of all lineups this week will start with one of those top three teams. So if you just start with your first team in as like a $9,500 team, you'll already be dramatically different. And this is a week to build differently because the leaderboard is not going to look how it typically looks with all the studs up top, right? It's just not how it's going to be. There will be three or four disgusting teams up high. Number three, play nuclear players. This is a term that's real big over on my Discord. If you don't know, you are going to want guys that can go ape shit hot. All right. And who are those guys? Well, we have a whole list of them that we talk about, like guys like Callum Tarran and Eric Von Royen. Our favorite is Garrick Higo. These guys that just have these really nuclear hot rounds. They just seem to really spike. Because, yes, they're the kind of guys that can blow up and also shoot an 80, but at this tournament, it's going to be about sun running on Thursday and Saturday, and you need to get every birdie you can get. And those nuclear guys offer that, especially if they have a nice, consistent partner. Another good one, Charlie Hoffman. That is a guy that can run nuclear hot, right? So whenever he has Nick Watney to hopefully make a bunch of pars, he can just go fire at every pin. And I think there is some real advantage to playing guys that can go nuclear hot in this format because they can fire at every flag and not have to worry about short-sighting themselves, right? They don't have to worry about putting themselves in a bad position by attacking a tucked flag. So I really encourage you to look at guys who are those nuclear hot players, right? If you're unsure, Brendan Todd is not a nuclear hot player, okay? He's going to get three bogeys and three birdies every round, and that's if he's on fire, okay? He just plays par golf. You don't want par golf guys this week. Number four, have some gross plays. I'm telling you, look at your player pool, and if you don't have at least three to four sets of guys in there that make you vomit your mouth just a little bit, you don't have a good player pool. There's going to just be some guys that is on nobody's radar this week that will finish in the top 10 and will break the slate. Do you have the courage to play them, right? Oh, he's playing bad and he's playing bad. They could never do good together. Or they could. It's that kind of week. I'm telling you, you're going to want to play some guys that are gross and don't make sense. It's a lot like Showdown this week, where the grosser they are, the better they are. Number five, play tryhards. If you don't know what a tryhard is, go watch Cable Guy in the basketball scene. It's my favorite tryhard scene of all time. Billy Horschel is a tryhard, okay? He really cares a lot about this shit. Kevin Kisner is a tryhard, okay? Guys who really give a shit about doing well. They're not here to hang out. They're not here to be buddies. They're not here to, you know, let's just have a good time and just play for fun. No, they're here to win, and that's all they care about. And if they don't, they're going to go be pissed for 2 weeks and not talk to anybody. That's what a tryhard is. And I think you want tryhards here. A lot of this feels a little resorty, a little gimmicky, this whole format. And if you have guys that are going to be focused and really give a shit about winning, I think you want those guys so much more, right? I think that's why Patrick Cantlay may be the most appealing this week. That guy is a tryhard. You can just look at Patrick Cantlay and he's got to be the worst hang of all time. You give me a guy who would be worse to hang out with than Patrick Cantlay. But at the same time, on the flip side of that, I bet he's a hell of a teammate to have at this, because he's going to be focused on every single thing. Hey, Xander, quit smiling. We're only up by six. He's that guy. Six, lean on guys who have experience playing together, all right? That's simple. I want guys who are used to playing together. So many of these teams make zero sense whatsoever, and I don't know why they're together. I've heard a lot of them are getting paired together based on, like, data, right? Like, oh, I see you're a ball striker and can't putt. Hey, I'm a ball striker and can't putt. Nice to meet you. I'm Luke List. Nice to meet you. I'm Henrik Norlander. Okay, I guess that's why they're paired. Some of these guys, these teams make no sense, right? And they've never played together. They have no history together. They have no relationship. They have no camaraderie. They have none of that, right? I don't want that. I would want guys who've played together, even if they've only had marginal or bad results, at least they're familiar with each other, right? And they like each other enough to want to go do it again. So there's something to having guys who've played together before, I think, just builds in a little bit of an advantage. You know where your partner is going to leave you when you're doing alternate shot, right? You know that you can fire at this pin because he will definitely get down that 30-footer in two strokes, and so you don't have to worry about blasting your birdie putt by. Having that confidence is a real big deal, right? And so I want to play guys who've played together before. That's the thing that I'll be looking for. Number seven, legit pros when possible. Some of the guys in this tournament are slapdicks, okay? If you don't know, the top 80 guys get to then go pick a teammate. Yes, they can pick somebody else who's also in the top 80, but they can also just go pick any crumb bum, right? The famous example used to always be Brooks Koepka would always bring his brother Chase there. And I don't want to play Chase Koepka, right? I don't want to play scrubs. When all things are equal, I'm going to give the tiebreaker to veterans of the PGA Tour, right? Guys who've played a lot of PGA Tour golf. And yes, you might think they suck, and they might suck, but you know what? They've been on the PGA for numerous years, so they can't be that bad, right? So I will be leaning on legit PGA pros when possible, and to a lesser extent, the European pros. Number eight, complementary skill sets. Okay, as I just told you, Norlander and Luke List, they are going to play very similar games. They play a similar game off of the top of off the tee. They play a similar game ball striking, and they both suck at putting, right? But there's also complementary in the way that you want to get some guys that maybe one's a bomber and one's a great approach player, right? That's the most appealing part of Homa and Morikawa to me, is Homa is great off the tee. Morikawa is a great second shot player, right? But then there's also skill sets like Joel Dahman is a great ball striker, great tee to green, and Denny McCarthy is a really good putter, right? So, like, I want to have guys that make sense together. I don't want to have guys that completely have different games than each other that don't complement each other, because what's going to happen is when they get to alternate shot, they're going to be hitting shots they'd never hit before, right? I'm a little bit worried about Keith Mitchell and Sung Jae Im, because Keith Mitchell hits the ball pretty damn far, okay? And I think Sung Jae is going to be hitting his seconds from a distance that he's not used to hitting them, and maybe it's not going to be his butter range. I don't know, but that is something to consider. Those two skill sets don't seem to align perfectly to me, but maybe they can just overcome it because they're probably, you know, two of the 10 most talented players in this field. And lastly, I'd be lying to you if I said you don't. Internationals, I love them this week. I think the internationals, it goes right back up there to number five. They're going to be tryhards. They're going to be out there giving it all they have. They give way more shit about this. A lot of them, they can make way more money at this event than they can in the normal tournaments they play in. They can get status on the PGA. There's a lot of motivation for these internationals to show up, perform, and to get results here. Not only for the money, but for the PGA status that you can get if you manage to get a win. So I will be playing way more internationals. And please don't be that dumbass that thinks international simply means Europeans. Okay? There's also, Canadians. Did you know that's not in the United States? That's true. That is an international team. Did you know there's this place called South Africa? Did you know there's this place called Japan? Yeah. Korea? There's all kinds of different countries out there. And I will be leaning hard on those international players, specifically the ones that are not already members of the PGA Tour. That is what I'll be doing. Those are some rules to consider. Use as many or as few as you want. I just wanted to walk you through it. Anytime it's a different format, you'd be amazed how many times people don't even consider changing up their strategy even a little bit. And that's, you know, thank God for them. They're paying the rake. Even though this week there may not be a rake. Okay, moving on. Hey, I got to make a lot of lineups tonight, not only with all my winners, which, by the way, editor, right now in the chat, give me a winner. Give me our first winner from the chat to make a lineup with me tonight, or we can save it for a better contest, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to making all these lineups tonight, and how do I make them all? I've got to make a couple hundred myself. Tyler Zurr, I swear he's already won. Tyler, me and you, we're doing it. I'm right here. I got all my projections, all my ownership loaded up to the solver, the best optimizer out there. If you want to get signed up, you simply go use my landing page, using that little showdown hoedown symbol, and then you can go make optimized lineups using my projections and my ownership to help you make the best version of your player pool. I'm not going to give you picks. You still make your own player pool, but this will help you make the best version of it. It will give you those icky-ass lineups you'll never come up with on your own that will help you win a GPP. And the best part about it is it's not $100 billion a month. It is $25 a month. The best optimizer out there. I swear by it. I couldn't imagine getting through my Wednesdays without this bad boy, or my Thursdays, Friday, or Saturdays for that point, because, you know, I play Showdown too, mother father. All right, let's get to the my favorite sweaty thing called ownership. If you don't know, the big guy, you know, we all have our kinks. Mine is definitely ownership. For all of you that are the fucking seals out there, the chalk always gets there. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Look, here is your chalk donkeys from last week. Patrick Cantlay was number one. Yes, he was the highest scoring guy in the tournament. So, yes, that chalk got there. Okay, the key to chalk is not fading all chalk. It's fading the correct chalk. What about Matt Kuchar? Man, Matt Kuchar finished T19th. He killed it. He was 29th in scoring. He didn't do dick. Look, if you instead of playing Matt Kuchar, you could have went and played Tigala or Fleetwood. Those were our pivots we selected before the tournament started, and they both scored way more points than him. So if you're patting yourself on the back about playing donkey dick 22.5% on Matt Kuchar last week, take a fucking lap. Take a lap. And then lastly, I got to play JT Poston at 14%. You ain't got to do nothing. You could have been playing guys like Adam Scott or Taylor Moore, who boat raced him. They both tripled up his points. You want to know how the chalk's doing on the season now? A couple interesting things. First of all, the new number is basically 51-49. Basically 51-49. And you still are playing all the chalk. My God. Anyways, I do think there is something worth noting here, and this is becoming a real trend. Look at this. Our top one is always one of the, like, so for last week, it was Cantlay, the most expensive of the three chalk guys. It is getting there quite frequently versus the other options, right? 39% versus the primary pivot, and or it's getting there 61% of the time and 70% of the time against the second pivot. So I think, but if you go down here and look at our second, which is, you know, a medium price guy, and then our low one, they're actually losing to the chalk. So what does that tell me? That tells me if I'm going to eat chalk, I'm going to eat chalk on the expensive guys. That's what I'm going to do. And the numbers bear this out. If you are going to be a person who eats chalk this year, which I will always say this, and the fucking retards will not listen to me, it is okay to eat chalk for the top guys. Okay? That, if you're going to eat it, that is the place to eat it. But when you're eating it on $7,100 guys, my God, man. So remember that. I'm not telling you to eat that chalk just because it's up there. I'm telling you it gets there more often. The numbers have bared this out. We've been looking at this for almost a full season now. Okay? So there you go. Let's get to ownership. Here's my top 10 most owned guys. Top 10 most owned pairs. Let's see here. You know, to be honest, Cantlay and Xander, I knew they were going to be astronomically high. They're perfect, right? They're both coming in great form. They're both tryhards. They both enjoy playing together. They both win a lot. I mean, they're everything you want to see. Oh, and they're definitively the two most talented players here, right? I honestly thought they would be closer to 50%, but it appears as though they're going to be a mere 40%, which is still outrageous. And I think anytime you're playing week long, aka kicking the nuts, you always have to be aware that maybe it is best to just block out. If I just fade this one team, 40% of it's over. If they get T29, there's about a 0% chance they will be in the optimal lineup. Now, you also got to remember, these two guys legit have about a 20% win equity. That's 1 in 5. That's the highest we've ever had by far over on my Rosetta Stone. They also are well over 50% to finish in the top 20, right? So when you factor those things in, you have to ask yourself, how likely are they not going to be in the optimals versus how much ownership do I have to eat? That is something that only you can do. Here's what I would tell you. If you're going to be one of those people that wants to play Xander, wants to play Cantlay, and maybe, you know, 20% of your lineups, I think you're just being a moron. If you're going to be underweight on these guys, why even play them at all? Just put your stones on the table and say, I'm completely fading them. All right. If you want to hedge a little bit and just go 40% and basically just be what the field is and say, I'll get different elsewhere, at least I can respect that strategy. But I think if you're going to play him, the best way to do it is have a little leverage on him. Get him in 60 to 80% of your lineups. So if they do hit, you are still outpacing the field with how good they are doing. Right. So my advice to you would be, you know, if you're going to do the 40% because that's where they're going to come in, I get it. But I would say this. Consider doing 0% or 60%+ of them, right? But in the meantime, you know what they are. These two guys, anytime you're 40%, the man's Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk. Except when we do. Except when we do, especially with these two, I think you got to consider playing it, right? Now, this brings up a second thing here. 30% own Benny Ann and SH Kim. I knew from the second I saw these prices on my show Monday that they were well underpriced. They are far too talented to be down here. The projections love them, and they seem like a very safe play. But you know what you can do with safe plays in PGA DFS? You can shove them up your backside. Okay, so anytime these guys are 30%, anytime you see somebody in the 7,000s at 30%, and you don't instantly know that these guys, I mean, this is beyond. I mean, like, I need a new term. These guys are so bad. The man is Donkey Chalk! The men, and we don't play Donkey Chalk! Those men are Donkey Chalk, and they might be the worst Donkey Chalk I've seen all year. I mean, the worst I've seen. 30%, if they really come in at 30%, which honestly it might be higher because the projections love them, and I think people are really going to lean on projections this week as the content is very few and far between, and people are like, I don't get the format, so I'll just do what projections tell me. Okay, well, that's fine, but I'm just telling you, that's going to lead to a lot of people having Benny Ann and SH Kim in their lineups, okay? From there, Trey Mullinax and Scott Stallings coming in at a cool 22.6%. First of all, this one doesn't even make sense to me. Is when did Scott Stallings and Trey Mullinax become good at golf? I don't know what's going on here. But regardless to say, I think it's pretty easy to say,
the man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
Disgusting Donkey Chalk, and we don't play him. Those last two, I can't even say except when we do. If you play them, me and you, we're not vibing. We're not vibing, okay? I get it. Cantlay and Xander, I get it. I get it. The win equity is through the roof. The win equity of these two is like 0.3. Okay, so like you go live that like feared life, right? Oh, I can't miss out on Kuchar because he might tear it up. Or he could just be Matt Kuchar, play like he always does and be 29th in points and neither help nor hurt you. He's just another dude. And you could have played Justin Rose. That's what you could have done. Okay, Colin Morikawa and Homa. You know, coming in at 22%, a little bit high, but, you know, when you're right next to Cantlay and Xander, there's no way that I can call you Donkey Chalk, so we're just going to give him, you know, I don't love it, but, you know, like, if you want to play him, you play him. I think it's a great way to get off some of that ownership, and they clearly are the second most talented team. Is that something I want to play at 10,900 at 22%? I don't know about that, bub. All right, the Kims, Siwoo and Tom, in my opinion, probably the fourth most talented team in this field. I'm a big buyer on both of these guys. I think they're super talented. 9,700 is a fair price, but, I mean, they are getting a little pricey. I think I'm in a good mood, and I already have so many other Donkey Chalks. I think I'm just going to give them, Chalk, let's pump the brakes. Let's pump the brakes. Okay. Sorry, I'm reading the chat over here. I see. No. Yeah. Romeinstein, they're literally tour pros, and you say they're not good. Hey, good thing you're here to listen to my opinion. Fuck off, loser. All right, you just made somebody a dollar. Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin, 21%. I love these guys. I think they're going to be good plays this week, but, man, that is the definition.
The man is Donkey Chalk. We don't play Donkey Chalk.
We don't do that except when we do. All right, this one saddens me. I really love these two Euro groups here, but when they're underpriced, you just got to remember rule number one. Rule number one is when people are underpriced and they have talent, people are going to play them. So both of these two, without question.
The man is Donkey Chalk!
Huge
and
Donkey
we don't
Chalk.
Play Donkey Chalk!
Huge Donkey Chalk. All right.
So, all right, Keith Mitchell and Sung Jae, I would give them quite, you know, like they're 18%, but like you got to look at the people that are around. They're just, they're okay chalk. There's nothing wrong with that. Same thing with Billy Ho and Burns. You know, like they're getting ownership, but it's simply just because of where they're priced, right? But then you have a couple more down here. Davis Thompson and Will Gordon and Matt Wallace and Callan Shanklin. And you got to ask yourself, hey, why do you have those as honorable mentions? Oh, that's a good question, sir. Anytime you see two guys as honorable mentions, and look at this, over 15% in the 7,000s, just know this rule. Almost without exception, when you get over 15% in the 7Ks, without exception. I mean, there might be one in the history of me doing this show, but I doubt it, Bob. I doubt it. So, with that, you know what these two guys are. These two guys?
The man's Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
And we don't play him, except when we do. Sit down, guy in the back. Golly, that guy, the guy in the chat got the guy in the back fired up. Now he's crawling up the wall. Get down. He's gone. Editor probably booted him. But yeah, look at the editor already deleted his message. Romanstein. Whatever. Okay. You know you're growing when you're getting haters, especially at the Zurich. Let's go. Okay, thanks for the follow, by the way, Romstein. I think we're almost to 3,000. We appreciate you. Let's get over to the model. If you don't know, the model is life. It's what I'm all about. Things I looked at this week, proximity over 200 yards. Incredibly, that is the number one distance at which they will be shooting. I want to see guys who are good at that, right? And I don't need them both to be good at that, but I'd certainly like to see one of them good at that, right? That was the one I weighed the most. Birdies are better gained, because if you don't know, you're going to need to be scoring some birdies this week. Opportunities gained, which means how often they give themselves birdie looks, and I really care about that this week, because if you have two 15-footers for birdie this week, well, normally if you have one 15-footer, you just say, well, my guy won't make that. But when you have two, you assume, okay, they're probably going to make one of these two, right? So I really want to see those guys. We have that same Poa Trivialis grass that we've been seeing at Sawgrass, Scottsdale, Innisbrook, Harbortown. We have it once more. I want to see guys who putt well on that. Longer par fives, recent ball striking, good drives, and then wedge range, 100 to 125, because there are some short par fours where being able to throw a nice little flip wedge in there is going to do you really nice. And as lastly, this is another Pete Dye course. I will be the first to tell you, actually, I would not be, though. I'd be like the 50th to tell you that this is not a normal Pete Dye course. It's a little bit longer. It doesn't play all the same tricks that a lot of other Pete Dye courses do, but it is a Pete Dye course, and guys who seem to score well at Pete Dye course, it does seem to carry across. And in a shocking bit of news, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele are number one and number two in my model. How am I so good at making these models? It's a true gift I have, I tell you. All right. I mean, Cantlay and Xander, they're the two best players in this field. Of course, they're going to be number one in the model. They're paired up together. You got to love them. And that's why they're going to be 40% owned. You just got to start asking yourself some questions. What place do they have to finish to not pay off that price tag? And to me, the answer is they're probably going to have to finish worse than 10th place, right? So how frequently does that happen versus how owned they'll be? That's an equation only you can answer, right? And maybe your numbers are different than mine. Maybe you think Cantlay and Xander aren't 1-5 to win. Maybe you think they're legit like 1-3 to win. Well, if you think that, I don't see any way you don't play them. You cannot give up 1/3 win equity. Homa and Morikawa, you know, once again, just kind of a weird team. Like, why are these two playing together? Like, I just, you know, this is I'm getting real big on strokes gained psychology, and those two playing together don't make sense. I have heard that Keith Mitchell and Sungjae are playing together just because Keith Mitchell's always had the hots for Sungjae, and Sungjae's finally like, fine, dude, I'll go on a date with you. So, I, you know, that's a weird thing, but maybe Keith will be like a real tryhard and be wanting to press Sungjae on their first date. I don't know. Sun Tigala going to be completely forgotten about. I think they might be under 10%, and it's very simple. They're overpriced compared to the people around them, right? The three teams above them are better, and the two teams right below them are better, and that is a that is what we call a squeeze sandwich, okay? They are sandwiched right in between all those guys, and their ownership is going to be depressed because of that. The Kims are going to be popular. Burns and Horschel, you know, honestly, I thought at 9,500, they would be the second most popular team, but they're not. You know, Billy Ho's form hasn't been great, but you look at a lot of these chalky teams this week, it's usually one guy who's playing well and one guy who's kind of eh right now. And, it, you know, Sam Burns is playing well and Billy Horschel's not, but that isn't affecting a lot of the other teams. So I don't know why they're not getting more ownership with the way Sam Burns is, you know, playing. Plus, Sam Burns is a killer on these greens. Look, they are the number one and number five putters on this surface. It's truly incredible. Wyndham Clark and Bo Hostler, I think they're overpriced, but man, they make a lot of sense. By the way, Wyndham Clark, number three in the model. You didn't see that one coming, did you? You didn't see that one coming. No one's playing Buckley and Spahn. Kitayama and Taylor Montgomery, right? This is one of those teams that just doesn't make sense to me. I think their games are completely uncorrelated. They don't make sense, and I would play them if no one else was going to play them, but I'm seeing that they're getting some chalk, so forget those guys. I'll go play old Aaron Pumpernickel with his two gloves with David Lipsky, who I don't think a soul's going to touch. Denny McCarthy and Joel Dahman. Once again, they have games that are not similar at all, but I think they have games that can complement each other. Taylor Montgomery and Kurt Kitayama's games are not going to complement each other. Just my opinion, Bob. Old Rope Hat. I wore the Rope Hat for Harris English and old Tom Hoagie. You know, they're going to be completely forgotten about. This whole range right here offers a lot of upside. But the problem is everybody's going to be playing Hadwin and Taylor because they're underpriced. They should be 9,500 in this field. They're 8,500. Patton Kizire and Todd, no one's going to play them. But let me remind you, they are number six and number two in putting on those surfaces. Matthew Fitzpatrick is probably the third best player in this field, but he is with his little brother. Is that a good or a bad thing? Well, I'll tell you what. There could be hangover for Matthew Fitzpatrick, but he is highly motivated to help his brother do well. So I do think they will have a little try-hard vibe to him, plus they're internationals. I think they're worth a flyer, especially if you think they're going to be under 15%. From there, you get down to the 7Ks. This is where a lot of those good Euros are. You know, Dietrich and Perez, Hogarden, Olesen, some really intriguing teams. You've got Team Old Man with Zach Johnson and Steve Stricker that not a soul's going to play. And then you just have some misprices here. Ryan Garrard and Ben Griffin, Will Gordon, Davis Thompson. These guys are too talented to be below Steve Stricker and Zach Johnson. I don't know what they were thinking with that pricing, but whatever. T-Dunks and Hank Lebiota. That's a team that I could see, you know, making sense together. From there, I will tell you this. After 7K, it gets real gross real quick. When I did my sleepers today over on the website for everybody, I was struggling to find them. We had to change the rules just to have enough sleepers to make a show. One that I see catching a lot of steam is Eric Cole and Sam Saunders. Eric Cole has been playing really well. Sam Saunders has kind of like vanished off the face of the earth, but they do seem to be the most popular of all of the teams that are 7,000 or below. When I talk about maybe playing guys who could sunrun, why not consider Austin Eckroat? I believe he's with Scott Harrington. And so, like, if you're going to play somebody who can sunrun, Austin Eckroat can sunrun, trust me. And maybe he gets it together for those two rounds, and they boat race, and then they just do average on alternate shots. Something worth considering. And then, of course, as I told you earlier, Nick Watney has been horrific. But when you have a guy who can get flaming hot with the irons, his name's Charlie Hoffman, I think you got to consider him, right? And so that is the basics of the model. That was some sleepers. I think your big pivots, I kind of skipped over pivots, would be like Suh and Tigala is a big pivot. Buckley and Spawn is a big pivot. Lipsky and Rye is a big pivot. Neesmith and Moore. So if you're wanting to live that pivot lifestyle, those are some really good ones. Kizire and Todd is a good pivot. Redmond and Ryder. Those are some really good pivots from 8,000 and above. All right. Which now leads me to... who is the one guy I am definitely, well, one guys, the one group I am definitely not playing this week? Well, I got to tell you, let me get my sound effect ready. This group, I all week I was for sure it was going to be Cantlay and Schauffele. I had a whole speech prepared about how I play to win GPPs, blah, blah, blah. I don't care if they're going to win, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? They are not the donkiest of all talk. I've almost talked myself into playing them because I'm so excited to fade this other group. Coming in at a smooth 30% in the 7Ks. SH Kim and Benny Ann. How else can you say it? But they're just donkeys, man. That is just as bad as it gets. I get that they're mispriced. But even if they come in at 20%, that is just beyond stupid. So you go play them if you want. I am so happy to fade them. You'll see me out there dancing in the hail in the streets, naked, getting pelted by golf ball-sized hail. Which brings me to the one group that I am definitely playing. And I know a lot of you say, this is that guy that never plays chalk. He says, always fade the chalk. Well, you know what? Matter of fact, my one pair I'm playing this week is donkey chalk. But I decided Monday when I first started looking at stuff, this was the team I was playing. I wanted to play them from the second I saw they were paired up. Then I saw that they were underpriced. I knew at that point that they were going to be chalk. They both come off as tryhards. They both have played together before. They're both internationals. And they're everything I want in a team. So, don't forget, last week I picked Matthew Fitzpatrick. I did not mush him, and I hope that I do not mush this team. The one team we are definitely playing this week, and I hope I don't mush him, and if I do, I got to tell you, I'm sorry. So, the one team we're playing this week, we're playing Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor! We're going to play them! They're going to, I don't know if they're going to win, but I love them. We are playing the Canadians. Give me Hadwin. Give me Taylor. I don't care how chalky they are. I'll play them in 100% of my lineups because I don't give a shit. I'm playing my Canadians, all right? Yeah, they got the jean jackets on, and they're sorry. Hey, before we get to the drawing, don't forget to come check out my website, dgen75.com. We are growing every day. Got to be the fastest growing community in there. Look at all these winners. This is just from last week, right? Look at all TLT and Golden Taint, Mike, Jim, Resolution, Yanni B, Eric, All those guys are winners, right? Look, and then we got like our whole, all these guys on the periphery just having massive weeks. Congrats to all the people in my community. Love to see them doing well, killing it all the time. And of course, I have the best tool in all of PGA DFS called the Rosetta Stone. Has everything you need to make informed decisions to make the best version of your player pool. Even for this weird ass wonky week, we still managed to scrape one together, and we'll still do one for round three, and we'll still do one for round four because we are tryhards. All right, lastly, I'm almost to 3,000 here on my website. Do me a favor, go drop a like and a sub if you would. Tell a friend, because you know YouTube ain't going to share me. You'll never see an ad on these videos or these streams to thank me. Just simply, give me a new sub. All right, let's get to those drawings. Editor, the first one is to win a ticket with me to play. This is courtesy of Nuggets, who's on vacation with all the money he's been winning from DFS, by the way, to win. All right, the first, Zach, I know that guy. Zach wins. All right, and now let's do for the fuck counter. Wait, we got to get one more so we can get up to 20. And here is for the F-downer. Who is it? Keegan White. There you go. Keegan, me and you. Send me an invite tonight. We will play for this $20 in there, okay? I'm going to do one more drawing here in about 10 minutes. Here in about 10 minutes, we'll do one more drawing, all right? I'm going to get to the chat now. Probably going to zoom through it. Not going to lie to you. Still a little worried about it. What are your thoughts on Chappell and Duffner? You know, I actually kind of like Kevin Chappell, Wolf, and Jason Duffner has been like sneaky good, but man, those two guys can't putt. It's going to be infuriating when they both have 6 feet for birdie and you get a par for the hole. Favorite 6K group? I'm not going to tell you, okay? Come watch my sleepers. No, Hoffman and Watney. There you go. Who is your favorite listener? I would say Lee Rothdell is. That's probably who it is. Okay. Are we drinking bourbon tonight? No. I'm going to be drinking cold brews and Topo Chicos, brother. I get a bourbon because they're on Bourbon Street? No, they're in New Orleans? Oh, bourbon's popular in New Orleans. I don't know. Never been there. Need to go. Go see Nick. Favorite pairing other than the top three? Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor. You're going to hear that answer a lot. Why does it smell like a gym in here? Because we're a bunch of sweaty tryhards, Jeff. I love it. Great question. Let's see this event. Can Fitzpatrick bros pull off a mate? At first I was like, there's no way I'm playing Matthew Fitzpatrick and Alex Fitzpatrick, but I've kind of realized that Matthew Fitzpatrick's kind of a tryhard and he needs to do well for his brother. So I've really warmed up to him. I went from no way I'm playing him to maybe that's where I'm at. Okay. Which salary range do you think has the best value? Definitely the upper 7Ks. There's too many good from 7,500 to 7,900. There's too many guys in that range that are just too underpriced without question. Should I burn my money this week? Well, Justin, it's really simple. How about this? Let's just make an agreement here. If wait for overlays or at least for the contest not to completely fill so you're not playing rake, and then toss some lineups in those. And then if they all end up filling, they catch a bunch of momentum tonight, just play Showdown with me, brother. Play Showdown. You know there'll be an edge at Showdown. People will be like, they shot a 60 yesterday. They'll definitely do good tomorrow. Not even understanding that it's alternate shot the next day and they're dumbasses. Is the biggest edge for guys who've played together, or is it about how game complement each other? I like guys who've played together more. That'd be my answer. Because complementing each other, I mean, I highly doubt they're going to play together if their games are complete opposites. So I'm going to go with guys that like each other, who are familiar with each other, who, like, when they miss a 4-foot birdie, they're not going to be like, this stupid mother father. Okay, I want guys that, like, you know, are friends. Like, they're used to playing together. At least get the best out of each other. In the 20 max using a cascade, is Donkey Chalk, Sloth, and X still a bad play? No, because if you're doing the cascade, the way I understand it, let's say you have five guys and you're playing, you have five main groups and you're rotating four of them into every lineup, you're going to be something like 80% exposed to all those groups. So you would still have great leverage on them. So I don't mind that. After a week, can we officially say Webb is broken and not likely to be fixed? A weird question for this week, but Webb is definitely broken. What is greater than 20% chalk you definitely putting in your player pool? Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin. Decided that a long time ago, brother. Favorite stroke play psychology pairing? I'm going to go with the brothers. I feel like Fitz is feeling good about his game. He's going to be motivated and he's going to be locked in. Plus, he's such a nerd. Even if it wasn't his brother, he'd still be out there trying. And I know his brother wants to do well, right? And that can't easy being a little bro to Matthew Fitzpatrick. How many duos from 70 to 150 lineups? So if I'm doing 70 lineups, I would be around 22. And if I'm doing 150, I'd be around 26. That's where I'll be. 9 and 8K range teams that are most likely to miss the cut. I can look at that for you. A team that I think is very likely to miss the cut that is in that range is... who is somebody that has really low... Hardy and Riley. I love those guys, but man, they can miss a cut. Trust me. Thoughts on Tigala's team up? Think they're going to be deadly? I mean, I'll tell you what, Tigala, after the T shot, I love his game. I think from the approach in, I love his game. And Justin Suh is a killer off of the tee. If they can somehow find a way to get that to marry up to the every other hole, you know, that might be something, right? Like, get Tigala on all those par threes and give Suh all the long par fours to tee off on, right? I think that's a real thing. Thoughts on fading 10K? Man, there's just so much win equity up there, Cal. Unless you're just doing one lineup, maybe, but if you're doing multiple lineups, I think you've got to have at least one of those teams. There's just too much win equity tied up in those guys. Cody, my man, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate you, mother father. Playing 100% Xander Cantlay. How much better are so much better than every other pairing out there? Crazy? No, not at all. I honestly, when I considered playing them, I thought I'll just play 100%, but I also kind of like some other guys. And when you play 100% of them, it really limits if you can get to Homer or Morikawa or M or Mitchell because they're so price prohibitive at 11,100. If you put them with another five-figure group, you're really going to be hurting. How's it going? Better now that you're here. Ayo! How many lineups are you running this week? To be determined. Right now, I only have like 35 reserve, Kenny, but I have a feeling I'm going to be spamming the $5 and maybe the $20, depending on if there's an overlay or if it doesn't fill. I'll kind of let that dictate for me. But I do want to play more Showdown than week long this week, right? For 20 max, what's the ideal player pool size? 15 to 16 for me, brother. Which one of these teams in the 7Ks are you leaning to play? In the 7Ks, give me Man, probably Perez and Dietrich. I love Charlie Bucket. Think Hubbard has back-to-back good tourneys? I don't. I don't like his partner. I can't even remember who it is. I just remember thinking, I don't like his partner. 3-max contest. What is a good size for a player pool? I like to go about 10. I go three guys in all three lineups, and then I mix and match the last few. Burns? Yes. He burns it up. What is the prize money drop kick in the nuts? Why did the prize money drop and kick in the nuts? Because they just knew people weren't going to be as interested this week. That's why there may be potential overlays, right? Nick says, show the shirt, pay that man his money, and go buy some alligator boots. Nick got me that shirt, and then I totally forgot to promote it. Thanks again, Nick, and thanks for the super chat. The editor will be eating. I might even feed the guy in the back this week with all these super chats. I don't know what to do. How many Diet Cokes is John Daly drinking this weekend? Probably about 1/5 as many beers. Giving up too much win equity, fading the two most expensive teams? Not too much, but like you're giving up a lot. I think you're going to want to be very aware of your win equity for the rest of your roster when you fade those two teams. Why are teams in the 6K so gross? Honestly, it's because like they couldn't get enough people into this tournament. And now you're letting slapdicks in, and then you let the slapdicks go pick their slapdick friends. You're going to get a real slapdick team in the 6Ks. All right, is Stricker Johnson viable for a 20 max? You know what? I'm kind of warming up to it. I think I might play them. They're going to be 4%. I'll play them. Okay, this is a weird, wonky tournament, Sean. I'm telling you. There are going to be some people in that top 10. You'll be like, what is this tournament? Are people getting too cute, contrarian, fading Xander and Cantlay? If you're fading them, no. If you're being underway, I think that's too cute. Just put your balls on the table. Thoughts on team Sustin Thagala? I'm warm to him. I'm a leverage man this week. Give it to me. Is this a week for Harry Higgs? I'm never a Harry Higgs guy. I like him as a person, just never play him. Recent form or tournament history with a consistent partner? I'd rather have a tournament history because I think recent form is a little misleading whenever like half your shots are going to be the other guy, right? Where can we find the tournament link? Ryan, it is in the description of the video, man. In the description of the video. Are you eyeing players who've had success in team play? I definitely am. Norlander and List are good. Mr. Petrini, look at the ownership over on the website. They're pretty owned together, right? The area in the course, heavy rain will delay the tourney. What do you think? What do you think, Wuss? The area course is any heavy rain delay the tourney. I don't know what that means, Nick, but yes, I think there's going to be a delay, so that's what I'll answer. Palmer and Piercy, you know, Ricardo, I was warm to them until I saw that, like, they're going to be owned. I was like, why do people want to play Palmer and Piercy at, like, what is it, 76, 7700? Yeah, I don't think so, Bob. I don't think so. I'm sorry to hear about your beard. How do you determine who plays better in team play, if anything different? You can go look at their team play record simply by looking at Google. Just Google it and find that. Or, you know, I've been doing it so long, I just kind of remember everybody. More balanced or studs and duds? I think I'm going to be way more balanced this week. I just love so many teams in the 8 and 9Ks that are coming in low owned. It's going to allow me to build my roster a lot different, Cody. So play AM, PM a little? I think so. I mean, I'm gonna do probably a weather update tonight, Terry, but that's how I'm leaning, brother. Who are some real try-hard players this week? I mean, Billy Horschel's a real try-hard. Matthew Fitzpatrick's a real try-hard. I just looked at his name. Who's the guy at 7,700? Ryan Palmer. There's your three tryhards, okay? Did I make my lineups yet? I hope not, Corey. If you did, you might as well give up your money. What do you think about Dahman? Love him. Do you do bar mitzvahs also? I can. I am for hire. I'm not. Do you think Chalmers and Piercy are going to be in? I mean, I guess. Not the first team I would think of, Bob. Not the first team I would think of. Is it actually safe to include 6Ks this week? Brock, let me tell you. I have a 26-person player pool as of now. Only 3 of them are in the 6K, if that's any help. So basically telling you a little bit, but don't get carried away. That's how I'm doing it anyways. If the $5 doesn't fill, putting 30 lineups worth it instead of maxing? Yeah, I think so. I think you can get away with that. I'm winning on Showdown. That great idea, new guy. There you go. There you go. You're getting it. Matt Slovakia, what's your best advice for someone who min cashes but wants to take it to the next level? You're going to need to make a point to every one of your lineups. You've got to have one guy that you purposely are saying, this is my purpose pivot, and this is my purpose low-owned guy. And then if you find that if you really want to get ballsy, do that with a third guy. And do that, and that will really get you from just always min cashing, right? Stop playing Matt Kuchar, okay? That's what you do if you want to stop min cashing. Am I a sweaty tryhard for fading Cantlay and Shoffley and Homakawa? No, I think there's enough. If you just fade those two, you can probably get it done, but I don't know if I'd fade all those top 4 or 5. I think there's a from, what is it, Horschel up, I think there's a lot of win equity. I would say something like 50% of the time, one of those top 6 teams are going to win this tournament. But the top 10 is going to be gross. Just the winner, I think, is going to be pretty obvious. Editor, leave the man alone. Can make him a tourney trip next year. I promise. We'll be good. There we go. All right. My second pivot is Percy and Chalmers. You got to get over that. Xander and Cantlay for me. Thoughts? I think that's a pretty safe start, Joanne. Just, you know, make sure you get overweight on him. That's what I would say. What's more likely in year of 2021, Xander and Cantlay finishing 11th or them winning? I would say 11th would almost be exactly 50-50, Nick. I bet if their top 10 odds are exactly 50-50. That's the odds I would lay to somebody if they want to bet. Did you find any cold brews in Oklahoma? I had to go to 3 different Walmarts, and I think I found the last ones. Taylor Atkins, my man. Keep up the good work, you mother father. Way to grind, even we aren't. Hey, that's Bill. I know that guy. He won like a bajillion dollars last week. He wins a lot. He real good at DFS. Thanks again, I know him as Bill. I don't know why it says Taylor there. And his picture kind of looks like Channing Tatum. Which, by the way, can we talk about how Nick Taylor kind of looks like Channing Tatum here? Anybody else see that? Am I the only one that sees that? Let's see. Moving on. Before my electricity goes out, congrats on the victory. The F counter last week. Well done, sir. Billy, class act for you to thank me. But you should have finished me off when you had me. Chris, the other Slovakia. Do you think the storyline is a narrative college team? Actually, I like that, Chris. I like those narratives this week. Give me guys who like each other and play together. I really do. Now, if they're tryhards, if they're a couple guys just want to go up there and get caught up and let's just have a good time, I don't know about that. But if they're a couple tryhards, I'm in. Eat Cantlay, slow play Chalk. Nom, 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 nom. Okay, I'm down with that. Let's see. Run up the F counter, like button. Oh, that was when. Who was that guy again? Romaine Lettuce. That's right. Sorry, Roman. Come on back, bud. I accept your apology. Under 9K, lowest owned, most win equity. Okay. Under 9K, low. Oh, Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin. Oh, no, that's not lowest owned. Never mind. Let's see. Lowest owned with the most win equity. Nick Hardy and Davis Riley. They've got some win equity for Shizzle. And I think they're going to be 8%. Playing 3-max, should I mix it up or take a stand up top? When I'm playing a 3-max, I tend to I would play at most 2 teams up top, at most 2. And I would make a point to have them in at least 2 of those 3 lineups, or it just doesn't even make sense. Maybe put them in all 3, right? Ryder Cup captain team, Stricker and Zach Johnson. Yeah, and they're going to go up there and show those young whippersnappers how it's done. That might be a thing. I don't know. Wow. Chat just jumped on me here. Hubbard, nope, I'm out. How does this guy in the back keep sneaking in? He lives in here. I mean, he just lives in the corner over there. Very sad. Very sad life for him. How are you planning on playing PP this week? So I'm going to wait till round 2. I want to get an idea how the course is going to play, but I will definitely be incorporating that into round 2, round 3, and round 4 if you want to come check it out. Is Herman Armor viable in gross 6? Yeah, they're very gross, and they play very similar, and they make no sense. So absolutely they're playable. Finally arrived. Ekrot's still the GOAT. I mean, he can sun run. I'll give him that. But, you know, the good news is when he has that off day, maybe he has a partner that can actually bail him out. Do you like the Wu bros? I do. I actually really like Brandon Wu. I feel like Brandon Wu is it's Bramlett, right? I feel like they're a pretty overlooked team with a lot of upside. And I think their games complement each other, strangely enough. Maybe I just want to believe that, right? Overlay, we'll be checking it. Rock B888. Really disappointing with Woos aren't playing together. I know. It would have been a win-win for everybody. A woo-woo for everybody. Stevens and McGreevy, man, I know some people want to play Stevens. He's playing great, but I think McGreevy is a special kind of suck. Last question. Here we go. List and Norlander play together a lot in Georgia. See, that's the kind of knowledge I need. Thank you, Mr. Lunchable Connoisseur. It has been real, guys. I hope that you guys reach out to me for those lineups. I hope to see you again Friday for the Showdown Hoedown. I've got to go make some videos for my website, and, you know, I got to go make my own lineups. It's been real. Sorry for the weather. Sorry for the apocalypse. Thanks for being here. Enjoy this outro. We'll see you soon, you motherfathers.